स भगवान ईशान स एष भगवान दयेदनंत सर्वात्मनाश्रित पदो यदि निर्व्यलीकम् ते दुस्तरामतितरन्ति च देवमायाम् नैषाममाहमिति श्री श्वशृगालभ्ये श्वशृगालभक्षे ईशां स एष भगवान् दयेदनन्त सर्वात्मनाश्रितपदो यदि निर्व्यलीकम् ते दुस्तराम् अतितरन्ति च देवमायाम् नैषाममहामिति श्री श्वशृगालभक्षे माताजी ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन बट एनीवन हु इज स्पेसिफिकली फेवर्ड बाय द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड ड्यू टू अनअलॉयड सरेंडर अनटू द सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड कैन ओवरकम द इनसरमाउंटेबल ओशन ऑफ इलूजन and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Purport. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is His expansion of diverse energies. Those who are attached to that perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of science of Godhead. The whole materialistic world, based on the conception of material body, as the self, is ignorant of the science of God. The materialist is always busy working for the welfare of the material body. Not only his own, but also those of his children, kinsmen, community men, countrymen, etc. The materialist have many branches of philanthropic and altruistic activities. From a political, national and international angles of vision, but none of the field work can go beyond the jurisdiction of the misconception of identifying the material body with the spirit soul. Unless, therefore, one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is a knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. Om Agyan Iti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Kakshar Ammiritam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamaya Dadati Swapadanta. नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति विदान संहिताम् नमस्ते हरे कृष्ण. सो इन द ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट प्रभुपाद राइट्स दैट दोज आर प्योर डिवोटीज ऑफ कृष्ण हु हैव सरेंडर्ड देयर लाइव्स इन कृष्णस सर्विस सच डिवोटीज Krishna offers a special favor. So we find in the canto, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, they were the pure devotees of Krishna and their lives were completely surrendered to Krishna. They were completely devoted to Krishna's service. And therefore, although their husband Kaliya was a wicked snake, not at all qualified for devotional service, still Krishna offered a special favor to him. So today, we'll discuss from the beautiful pastime of subduing the Kaliya from 10th canto, a tale of triumph and transformation. So Shukadeva Goswamiji, he is narrating the pastimes of Krishna to Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Parikshit Maharaj wants to understand here the pastimes of Kaliya in detail. But Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj tells Parikshit Maharaj that because I didn't want to cause great suffering to your heart, therefore I explain in brief. Because we must understand here that Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they are not just a listener and a speaker. When Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan Dham, both Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, both of them were into the Leelas in Vrindavan Dham. They were one with the Brajavasis. So whenever there was a danger in Krishna's life, so whatever the pains the Brajavasis were going through, the same thing was happening to Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. So therefore Shukadeva Goswami thought that this Kaliya serpent, when he attacked Krishna, so there is so much of suffering for the devotees, and I don't want Parikshit Maharaj also go through this suffering. Therefore, he wanted to skip this pastime, or briefly explain. But Parikshit Maharaj, because he insisted, so Shukadeva Goswami is now narrating this pastime. So one day, Krishna and all his cowherd boyfriends, they were taking care of the cows in Vrindavan forest. And Krishna told all the boys, let us all go to the sandy beach of Jamuna. There all our cows can enjoy the soft grasses and we can enjoy the sporting together. So all the boys became very happy and they said, yes, let us go immediately. So all of them came on the bank of Jamuna. And somehow, suddenly, all of them, including the cows and the cowherd boys, they were overwhelmed by the thirst. And therefore, they started drinking the water of Jamuna. So after a few sips of water, they all fell. They were all dropped dead, lifeless. So Krishna was worried. How did this happen? Why my friends have become lifeless, dead? So now our acharyas explain that in Vrindavan Dham, all the devotees' lives are controlled by Yoga Maya. Yamaraj has no jurisdiction in Vrindavan Dham. So therefore, there was no question that they will die without permission of Yoga Maya and Krishna. But here, Yoga Maya has covered the life air of the Brajavasis, the cowherd boys. It's covered the life airs of the Brajavasis. So now, Krishna glanced over these boys. Through his nectarian glance, they were brought back to their life. So Subal, as soon as he got back to his life, He said, how is that? Few moments back, we were all dead. But now again we were in the life. So then Ujjwal says, did you forget the words of Gargacharya? He had said that whatever obstacles you boys will go through, by the grace of Krishna, you can easily overcome. So now, it is because it is Krishna's plan and Krishna has brought us back to this life. So now, they were all happy. Then Krishna looked at the water of Jamuna. How is that this become water has become so polluted, so contaminated, so poisonous? Now, it is explained, Acharyas say that this water was not exactly the part of Jamuna. It was a separate lake. It was separate from Jamuna. And within that lake, a wicked, venomous serpent was living. His name was Kaliya. So this Kaliya was staying in that lake since yugas. And his venom has spread everywhere in the water. And the entire water of the lake had become poisonous, contaminated. To such an extent that the water of Jamuna had been come to the point of boiling heat or a boiling water. And all the around the vicinity, all the vegetation, plants, trees, they were all dried up because of the effect of this poison. Not only that, even if a bird happened to fly over this water, it would immediately die and fall dead into the water. So we see that during Krishna's time there was one Kaliya and he had polluted the lake of Jamuna. And now, presently there are hundreds and thousands of Kaliyas. They are polluting the water of Jamuna. Even now also the same situation. What was there during Krishna's time and the Kali had polluted the water. Even now also Jamuna's water is 1,000 times more than the highest point of the contamination. So, then Krishna thought, okay, let me purify Jamuna's water and teach some lessons to this Kaliya. Previously also many times Krishna was passing by this lake and he had a thought of punishing Kaliya. But Acharyas mentioned, because Kaliya's wives were devotees, therefore Krishna was always forgiving him. Okay, no problem, your wives are devotees, I'll forgive you. So many times Krishna had the thought to kill or punish Kaliya, but because of the devotees, he forgave him. But now this was too much. His coward friends and cows were dropped dead because of this poison. Now Krishna decided to punish Kaliya. So Krishna saw there was one huge kadamba tree on the bank of this lake. So now our acharyas say that because of the effect of this poison, all the trees and plants were dried up. How come this tree was alive? So some acharyas write that Garudji in the past, he understood that in the future Krishna will perform some pastimes here. Therefore he had sprinkled over some nectar over the tree. And therefore the tree was living. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that just by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, the tree was brought again back to life. So Krishna climbed upon the tree and he went out to a large, he went out on a large branch of a tree which was extending to the waters of this lake. Now, after climbing on that branch, Krishna very playfully, he just pulled back his hair with both of his hands and started knotting or tying his hair. And then it is mentioned that he retied his turban. He also tightened the cloth of his waist belt. And then it is mentioned that Krishna flapped his forearms. And then he clenched the lotus hand into a fist. And afterwards he started singing songs. So why did Krishna do all these things? He just wanted to give assurance to the boys, nothing will happen to me, don't worry. You just take care of the cows, I will be back in short time. So just Krishna wanted to give this assurance to his boys, therefore he did all these things. He was now about to wrestle with the Kaliya, therefore he was doing the imitating wrestler. Son Krishna, he jumped into the lake, exactly into the center point of the lake. Now he dove into the lake just as a kingfisher dives in the water for catching its prey. When Krishna fell into the water, it seemed that a great mountain has fallen into the water. So the impact of Krishna hitting to the water was so much that the waters of the lake swelled up high in the sky, 100 bows height. That means around half a kilometer. Swelled up in the high in the sky. And it caused the waters of this lake overflow on all other sides. So then Krishna, he started swimming towards Kaliya, towards Kaliya's inner chamber. Within that lake, there was also an island where Krishna was, Kaliya was residing. Now Krishna, he started swimming towards Kaliya. And it is mentioned that Krishna was very expert swimmer. Why is like that? Because all the incarnations, all the avatars of Krishna, they are present within the body of Krishna, including Matsya avatar. And who can be better swimmer than Matsya avatar? So when Krishna was swimming, he was producing a beautiful music by splashing his arms and his lotus feet. Simply by splashing his arms, he was producing a beautiful music. So then he went towards Kaliya. But because of Krishna's falling in the water, there was tumultuous sound created and it disturbed Kaliya. So Kaliya came out of his inner chamber. He wanted to know, who is this trespasser? Trespasser will be persecuted. So then Kaliya came and he saw a beautiful small boy. He said, how is this possible? This boy is so beautiful. How can he create so much of havoc? It was like a cyclone into the lake. So then it is mentioned that Kaliya, when he saw, first time he saw Krishna, he thought it is worth seeing Krishna. Krishna was so beautiful. He felt that it is worth seeing Krishna. And it is mentioned, what was the beauty of Krishna? Braha pidam natavaravapu karnayo karnikaram bibradvasa kanaka kapisham vayajantiyam chamalam randran venur adhar sudaya purayan gopavandher rindaranyam sapadaramanam pratishad gita kirtihi. Krishna was looking so beautiful. He had a peacock feather upon his head. He was wearing a yellow silken cloth as his vest. And then he also had a manikarnika flower on his ears. He was swimming in the water. So someone may say, while swimming also, how is that his peacock and the flower, they were still intact? Yes, in Krishna's case it's possible, it's true. So when Krishna, when Kaliya saw Krishna, Krishna was looking so beautiful. Because of his envious nature, Kaliya could not appreciate Krishna's beauty. Although Krishna was so beautiful, because of his envious nature, he could not appreciate. So similarly, in this material world, we can find whenever you speak about Krishna to any person, without any reason, they will start criticizing Krishna, they will start blaspheming Krishna. That shows there is envy within everyone's heart. actually specially this envy is only for Krishna. This envy is not towards any other gods or any other living entities or any other great person. You know why? Because Krishna is the only person who is sitting in our heart as a Paramatma. So the soul, Atma, knows that he is the only person who stops me from my sense gratification. All other gods, they will provide all sense gratification to me. Only Krishna. So in that contaminated stage, in conditioned stage, Jiva hates only Krishna. He may like, he may love others. But as long as he's conditioned, he hates Krishna. So, instead of falling in love with Krishna, Kaliya, he pounced upon Krishna and he started biting right in the chest of Krishna. And then he started coiling around Krishna's beautiful, tender body. Now, Sanatana Goswamiji writes beautifully, Krishna is so merciful, although Kaliya's intention was to kill Krishna, he was again and again biting with his venomous fangs. He was biting Krishna in the chest, and he has also coiled Krishna around. But still, Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, he felt and he thought that Kaliya is not trying to kill me. Actually, through biting his fangs, he's trying to kiss my beautiful limbs. Krishna says that through biting, he's trying to kiss my tender limbs. And when he's trying to coil around my body, that means he tries to embrace me. So in such situation also, Krishna took it that Kaliya is still loving me. And there was another reason behind this. Because Kaliya's wives were devotees of Krishna. And somehow or other Krishna wanted to give mercy to Kaliya. So he was somehow or other trying to find out some excuses to give his mercy to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami also writes, beautiful point, please listen. In Vrindavan, Krishna always tries to maintain the Madhurya Bhava, even while fighting with the demons. So when he's fighting with the demons, generally it's a ghastly rasa, isn't it? But in Vrindavan Dham, Krishna is always smiling. Even while fighting, he's always smiling, laughing and joking. Because he wants to maintain that Madhurya, not the ghastly rasa. Even during the fight between this Kaliya and Krishna, when Krishna was punching Kaliya, Kaliya was oozing blood and venom, this poison from his mouth. And many of the drops of this blood were sprinkled on Krishna's body. They were like red color blood. But Krishna took it as if Kaliya is showering red color flower petals on him. That is Krishna's mood. Kaliya is trying to kill Krishna. But Krishna in every situation, the best positive attitude. Here is Krishna. So Krishna, he was always smiling. And our Acharya writes, Arjuna is another warrior. Most of the time, whenever Arjuna was fighting in the battle, he was always smiling. Except few cases like Abhimanyu's death. Most of the time, Arjuna was always smiling while fight. Because fighting was very natural for Arjuna. He was not attached to the results. Just as a duty on behalf of Krishna, he was fighting. Therefore, he had no anxiety. He had no tensions. Because most of the warriors, they are attached to results. They are very selfish. They are fighting only for their own cause. Therefore, they are always anxious and anxiety. But Arjuna, he was completely detached. Not just during Mahabharata war. Even other times also. He was always cool. So, therefore he was Krishna's friend. So, Arjuna also While fighting, he was always smiling. Then Kaliya, when he saw Krishna, he immediately took Krishna within his grip. Now our Acharya is right. Why did Krishna allow Kaliya to coil him around Krishna? There are two reasons. The first is very beautiful reason. Krishna wanted to show to the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, just see, I came here in this lake with a lotus flower in my hand. Actually, when Krishna was swimming towards Kaliya, he was so cool, he was splashing the water with one hand, and the other hand, he was carrying a lotus flower, he was whirling a lotus flower. He wanted to show that, I am your friend. I want to develop and establish friendship with you. I came with the flower. I came with the flower, but your husband, first he attacked me. And now you see, I am in this under this coil for such a long period. When the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, they saw Krishna in such a precarious condition, they started cursing their husband. Let our husband die immediately. We want to become widows at this moment. So why Krishna performed this pastime? Because he didn't want to displease his devotees, Nagapatnis. Otherwise, what would happen if Krishna would have attacked Kaliya and then Nagapatnis would have considered, you know, Krishna is so cruel. He attacked our husband and he punished and he killed him. So Krishna wanted to give or wanted to show to this Nagapatnis that see, first he attacked on me. I came with a lotus flower. And then the second reason is, he was waiting for a Brajavasis to come. Why for 45 minutes? Some acharyas say that Krishna was in the grief of Kaliya for 2 hours. But most of the acharyas say it was only 45 minutes. Because one ghadi is equal to 40 minutes. Two muhurtas. Each muhurta is 20 minutes. So he was in the coils of Kaliya for 2 muhurtas. That means approximately 45 minutes. So he was waiting for the Brajavasis to come. And therefore he just allowed Kaliya, okay, do whatever you want. So he was in the coils of Kaliya for 45 minutes. And he wanted to show the whole world, including the gods and the people, just see, I am not at fault. First he attacked me, and now if I punish him, please don't blame me. So Krishna wanted to show that. So what if, while this was happening in the lake, in the Vrindavan town or Vrindavan village, there were ill omens manifested. And what were the ill omens? Earth started trembling. There was earthquake. And then second omen was, yeah, the jackals in the middle of the day, they started howling at the sun in the middle of the day. And then there is also another omen. Meteors fell from the sky. And fourth one is, the left side of the men started shivering. So these four types of bad or ill omen started manifesting in Vrindavan town. So all the Vrajavasis were worried, especially Nanda Maharaj. He thought there must be some danger to Krishna. So Vanapar Acharya writes, Krishna's Vrindavan Dham is totally spiritual, beyond the jurisdiction of these gods and this world. How come there will be any ill omens in Vrindavan? So beautifully he explains, the in charge, the god who is in charge of the ill omens or good omens, he was so much he had so much affection for Krishna. Out of affection, he forgot Krishna's supreme position. He thought Krishna is also an ordinary child. Let me inform all the Brajavasis that there is some danger to Krishna's life. Therefore, he showed the bad omens, ill omens to the Brajavasis. And therefore, the Brajavasis,
It is mentioned that practically each and every single Brijavasi included all the old people, the elderly people, the males and the females and small children. Everyone rushed towards Vrindavan forest because they had nothing than Krishna. Everything was Krishna. Their whole life only was Krishna. So therefore when they thought that Krishna is in danger, they all ran towards Vrindavan forest. Now how to find out where Krishna is? Very beautiful. They all started following the footprints of Krishna. Now, beautiful. Our Acharya writes, how is that possible that Krishna departed from the Vrindavan village early in the morning and now it was evening time? This was happening in the evening time and all the Brajavasis were running towards the forest and it was evening time and still Krishna's footprints were clearly visible. And Krishna was surrounded by not only just hundreds and thousands, millions of cows. They were all surrounded by Krishna and still Krishna's each and every footprint was clearly visible. The Acharya gives explanation. Mother Earth, whenever Krishna would place his lotus feet on the body of a Mother Earth, she would be in complete ecstasy. So she preserved and protected each and every footprint of Krishna as and her ornament. This is the first reason. Second reason is, all the Brajavasis, including Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamai, elderly gopas, gopis, and the cowherd boys, the cows, monkeys, tigers, and deers and elephants, all whoever was there, all the living entities, they unanimously, they made one agreement. Whenever Krishna would walk in the field or on this ground, no one will step on Krishna's footprint. That was an agreement made by all the Brajavasis. So therefore, somehow by Yoga Maya's potency, by Yoga Maya's planning, it was happening rightly. So then Krishna's footprints were clearly visible. All the Brajavasis followed. And fine. They wanted to go quickly, as faster as possible, but because they were feeling so much of, they were so much of anxiety and tension, sometimes they would fall on the ground, again they would rise up, and again start walking. In this way, somehow or other, finally they reached to the spot where Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya. They saw all the gopas, they were rolling on the ground and crying. All the cows were shedding tears. And finally they saw Krishna was in the grip of Kaliya. Mother Yashoda wanted to enter into the lake. But all the elderly gopis, they held her back. Nanda Maharaj was stopped by Balaramji. Now, all the young gopis, when they saw Krishna in the grip of Kaliya, they just kept looking at Krishna. They were like a clay dolls. They saw the whole universe like a void, vacant, empty. Everyone and everything, the entire creation had no meaning. It had become meaningless to all the gopis. Their bodies looked like half burnt or looked like half dead. No one could understand whether these gopis were alive or dead. When they saw, first time when they saw Krishna in the grip of Kaliya, they neither cry nor lamented. No expressions, motionless. They neither cry nor lamented. And suddenly, after some time, all of them, simultaneously, it's mentioned, Acharya has mentioned, they started crying and wailing so loudly, their piteous wailing strained the entire universe. The loudness of their wailing was so high, it strained the entire universe and the atmosphere. It's mentioned. And then the tears of the gopis which were falling from their eyes muddied the entire banks of Jamuna. And finally, because they couldn't tolerate Krishna in such a situation, they took the shelter of their best friend, Sakhi. What is that? That is a personification of unconsciousness. They all fainted on the ground. So now, practically each and every Brijavasi was lifeless. They were all on the verge of death. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, why Krishna puts all his devotees in such a miserable condition? And Prabhupada gives the answer. He says, to intensify their love to most ecstatic degree. Therefore, Krishna puts his devotees in such a miserable condition. Now, after some time, Nanda Maharaj again came back to his external consciousness. Now, this time, he was not ready to listen to Balaram. He wanted to give up his life by entering into this lake. But somehow the Balaramji forcibly stopped him. And then Balaramji started speaking to Nanda Maharaj. He said, my dear father, have you forgotten the words of Gargacharya? Gargacharya had told us personally that this boy of yours, Krishna, he will all protect all Brijavasis from all the obstacles, from all the troubles. Now, if Krishna can protect all of us from all the troubles, will he not protect himself? And then he says, I know he is my younger brother. He is so powerful. I am the Anantasheshanaga. I know his power. This insignificant, tiny water snake, Kaliya, what harm he can do to Krishna? Then he says, just like a simple wind, what harm it can do a great, what harm this can do to a great mountain? Or a little darkness, what harm it can do to a great sun? So similarly, this watery snake, what harm it can do to Krishna? So therefore, be patient. And Gargacharya also had given you instruction. You must protect and care for this child. Now if Krishna comes back and if you are not there, who will maintain and raise this child? Therefore you have to keep patience and just stay here. Now Balaramji, he looked at Krishna and he started offering prayers to Krishna. My dear brother, why are you performing such kind of pastimes? All your devotees are on the verge of death. And he is right. Balaramji prays, wow, beautiful. He says that these Brajavasis, they are not the devotees from Vaikuntha. They are not the monkey associates of yours during Ram Lila. They are not even like Dwarka Yadavas. They are simple Brajavasis. Their love is so innocent. Because all the Vaikuntavasis, they are also pure devotees of Krishna. Monkey soldiers, the monkey devotees, they are also pure devotees of Krishna. And the Dwarkavasis, they are also pure devotees of Krishna. But they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is no need to worry. Even if Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya, he will protect himself. So there is no need to worry, there is no need to cry, there is no need of any hue and cry. But these are simple Brajavasis. They don't know that you are a Supreme Lord. They just love you like they are a child or they are a friend or their beloved lover. So therefore, please stop performing this kind of pastime. And then Balaramji warns Krishna, if you don't stop this pastime, I know your heart is very tender, your heart is very soft. If you don't stop this pastime, then that soft heart will be in the grief in the future. So therefore, stop it now. So when Krishna heard the prayers of Balaramji, our Acharya writes, Krishna opened his eyes after 45 minutes. He opened his eyes, he looked at Kaliya, and Krishna said, these are the words, Krishna's exact words. He said, hey Kaliya, do you think that you have captured me in your coils? You fool! I allowed myself to capture. You can't do any harm to me. And then he says, till now, you showed your prowess. Now I'll show you some glimpse of my prowess. And then Krishna became heavier and heavier and heavier. He became heavier like 10 million Mount Meru. His weight was equivalent to 10 million Mount Meru. And suddenly Kaliya thought, what has happened? He couldn't hold Krishna in his coils. And Krishna sprung up from coils of Kaliya. And now, when Krishna was released, he was free from Kaliya's coils. All the gods from the heavenly planet started showering flowers to Krishna. It is amazing that if you find the battles between God and the demons, like Hiranyakashipu and Narsingadev, whenever there was a battle was happening between Narsingadev and Hiranyakashipu, all the gods, they were hiding behind the clouds. They didn't want to take risk. If in case Narsingadev loses the war, and then Hiranyakashipu will fight with us. Same thing with Ravana and Ram. When the battle was happening, all the gods were hiding behind the clouds and they were watching. Even here also, one of our Acharya writes that within the vicinity of this lake of Kaliya, even the gods from the heavenly planet, they were not allowed. Nobody dared to come there. That was the power of Kaliya. So when they saw, oh, Krishna is safe, they all, but they are actually devotees of Krishna. Somehow they are waiting for showering the flowers of Krishna. So they all started showering flowers on Krishna. And many of them started playing their kettle drums and all other auspicious drums. And then it is mentioned, when Krishna, he also gave a beautiful smile to all the Brajavasis. Said, don't worry, now I'll start performing my leela. So you don't worry now. So Krishna, he started attacking Kaliya. And Kaliya also started attacking with his thousands of hoods. When Krishna was released from his coils, he became very furious. So with his thousands of coils, he started attacking Krishna. And Krishna was going through circles. He was going circles and by circles, like, you know, round and round. So Kaliya also was chasing Krishna. But Krishna was just wanted to dodge all the attacks of Kaliya. Therefore, he was going round and round. So just because of the going round and round, Kaliya became a little dizzy. And then he felt like, you know, his head were reeling. Then Krishna, he punched him on his face. Just by one punch, Kaliya became unconscious. After some time, Kaliya again aroused. Now this time, Krishna, it is mentioned that Krishna slapped Kaliya under his neck here. Just like a wrestler, when they wrestle, the two powerful wrestlers, each wrestler tries to slap under his, ears. So Krishna also slapped under the neck of Kaliya, and then immediately he climbed upon one of the hood of Kaliya, and he started dancing on the hoods, and simultaneously he started playing his flute on a seventh note, saptam note, the sa. And then Krishna's lotus footprints had become red like a copper, because there were so many numerous gems studded on the hoods of Kaliya. Just by the contact with those gems, Krishna's lotus footprints had become pinkish, more pinkish or reddish. And then Krishna started dancing. Now, from the heavenly planets, all the different varieties of gods, like Charanas, they came and they started playing their drums and other instruments, Gandharvas came and they started singing for the pleasure of Krishna. Siddhas came and they started showering perfumed powder upon Krishna. All the sages appeared and they started glorifying, they started offering prayers to Krishna. And Apsaras came and they also started dancing along with Krishna. Of course, Krishna was dancing on the woods and they were dancing on the land. But they can't imitate Krishna dancing on the woods. So they were trying to imitate Krishna's steps. Now then Shiva became ecstatic. Shiva also came from a Kailash. He brought his own drum, the damru, dum 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 dum. He also started playing his damru. When Krishna saw, wow, Shiva also came, Krishna became more ecstatic. Now he started dancing such a way, he started jumping higher and higher. So when he would come down, he was such a big thrash or a big blow on Kaliya's hooves, Kaliya would again become unconscious. Now, beautiful. All these Gandharvas and Charanas, they were giving taal for Krishna's dance. Because we need Surantar for dancing. So, it is mentioned, they gave the taal. Ta-ta-tiya, 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 ta-ta-tiya. They began with the slow. Ta-ta-tiya, ta-ta-tiya. Then gradually they increased the speed. Ta-ta-tiya, 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 ta-ta. The same words, right? I'm not using other words. The same tatatiya word is used in the Acharya's commentary. So they started making it faster and faster and faster and faster. So at one point of time, it was so fast that the Charanas, they couldn't go beyond this. Apsara stopped dancing because there is some limit, you know. So they also stopped dancing. But Krishna kept on dancing. Krishna's speed was so much that the Charanas, Gandharvas and Apsara, they couldn't keep pace with Krishna. He was so fast, that within a fraction of a second, please listen, within the fraction of a second, Krishna smashed thousands of Kaliya's hooves. So when Krishna would put his one foot on each one hood of Kaliya, the second Krishna's move was Krishna's left footprints would fall on the hoods, whichever hood of Kaliya would pop up. There were thousands of hoods of Kaliya. Most of them had become like, you know, collapsed. But few of these hoods were still popping up. And then Krishna had to smash those hoods. So at one point of time, he was here at this hood. Within a fraction of a second, he has to smash hundreds of other hoods. That was the speed of Krishna. All the gods, including Brahma and Shiva, they just offered obeisances to Krishna. They said, it's unimaginable. First of all, your dancing arena or the dancing platform is not fixed. We all dance on a fixed platform. Shiva has a fixed platform, Kailash Mountain. Apsaras also dance on the fixed platform. But he is dancing on the slippery woods of Kaliya, and that too is not a pre-planned. Okay, now let us have some cooperation. Kaliya, to his fullest limit, he is trying to attack Krishna, and Krishna has to counter-attack. So then, now this was not enough. Because the rhythm stopped. It couldn't go beyond this. But Krishna was dancing so fast, everyone just looked at Krishna. Now the second thing what happened during Krishna's dance, amazing. Huh? First time I'm using this word amazing, not again. Some devotees account. So now Krishna wanted to show something extra. Because he's the Adi Guru of all music. So therefore, he wanted to show something which nobody has seen before, is unheard of, and is unimaginable even for Saraswati, Brahma, Shiva and all the host of the gods. What did Krishna do? He started dancing on the hoods of Kaliya on his toenails. Krishna started dancing on toenails, not on toes, on toenails. Shiva uses his lotus feet. Apsara dance on a feet. At the most, they may use hands also. You can use hands and feet for dancing. Krishna not only used just the toes, he was dancing on the toenails. How much space is there now? With the same speed. This is not exaggeration. I'm not using my own words. It's explained in the Acharya's commentaries. Krishna was dancing on the toenails. Forget about the human beings and animals. When the gods, when they saw this, they were all fainted. It's unimaginable. This cannot happen. It is not possible. They couldn't believe their eyes. How is this possible? That is Krishna. So finally, he was punching and pounding and kicking Kaliya. So Kaliya, finally, he became exhausted. Not only his venom or a poison came out of his body or mouth, all his blood also, he vomited blood and also the poison. When that poison was completely out of Kaliya's body, he became very humble. But there were no, because this poison represents envy, lust, greed, and all these anarthas, and the faults of Kaliya. So whatever faults Kaliya had, they were all vomited out. All his anarthas were vomited out. And now Kaliya was just like a pure, neutral personality who had a nice admiration and respect for Krishna. At this point of time, he was not a devotee, but he had a lot of respect for Krishna. Because previously, his wives were always preaching to Kaliya, please give up this cruel nature, don't harm creatures, become surrendered to devotees, surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, become his devotees. They were again and again preaching to Kaliya. But because of that venom, because of that envy, he couldn't appreciate their words. And now he could understand. Previously, Kaliya was very much afraid of Garuda, because he knew the power of Garuda. But when he fought with Krishna, he said, "My dear Krishna, I never imagined that someone could be more powerful than Garuda, and that 2 billion times more powerful than Garuda. I surrender at your lotus feet." So then, previously the wives, when Krishna was in the college of Kaliya, the wives had prayed, "Let us become widows, let our husband die." But when they saw that he is becoming humble, he is ready to surrender to Krishna, now they changed their prayers. They said, "My dear Krishna, please give him one more chance. He wants to become your devotees. We were not attached to him, but there is some hope. He wants to become your devotee. Please give him one more opportunity. Please give him one more chance." Just because of the prayers of the wives, Krishna gave, "Okay, forgiven." And it is mentioned that my God, it's 9:15. But I'll just quickly, within 5 minutes, I'll be winding up. So, the Kaliya's wives, they started offering prayers. And one of the prayers, Kaliya's wives said, that, "My dear Krishna, you protect the good and punish the wicked without any partiality. You always protect the good and always punish the wicked without partiality." And then they give you an example. Prahlad Maharaj was the son of a demon, Hiranyakashipu. But you protected him. And Narakasur was your own son. And you killed him. See, because Narakasur was wicked, Krishna killed him. And Prahlad was good, Krishna protected him. So, I was thinking that these wives of Kaliya, they were always under the water with Kaliya. When did they learn all the scriptures? How did they find out that Narakasur was killed by Krishna and Prahlad's pastime? Because they were devotees, pure devotees of Krishna. So whatever they were needed to know, Krishna just gave them all the knowledge. It is true. Whatever is needed for us to perform bhakti or any knowledge, Krishna just, Vrajayanti, he is sitting in everyone's heart as a Paramatma, and he supplies that knowledge to everyone. So comes, Kali had no knowledge. He simply repeated the same prayers of his wives, and Krishna was pleased with the same prayers. Amazing, Krishna, right? He was pleased with the same style or same prayers. So we may not have any devotion in our heart, but just repeat the same words of our previous acharyas. We may not even have devotion in our heart, but simply imitating the previous acharyas will also become one day very dear to Krishna. Wow! When Krishna, Kaliya became little humble and he started appreciating Krishna, and then he requested Krishna. He said, Krishna, please come to my home, please come to my house. Krishna said, why you want to take me to your house? He said, my dear Krishna, because I beat your chest, and I also beat your chest and your whole body, because of there are so many wounds all over your body. Me and my wives, they want to apply some sandalwood paste on your body. Krishna had no time, huh? He had to go to the shore or the bank of this, because everyone was there and waiting for Krishna. But still Krishna took out his time. He said, okay, now you are a new bhakta. He wants to serve me. No problem, no problem. Krishna went into the inner chambers of Kaliya, and Kaliya's wives and Kaliya, all of them together, they made a paste and they started applying that sandalwood paste on the body of Krishna. And then Krishna said, because everyone is afraid of you here in Vrindavan, although you are a devotee now, but everyone is afraid, so my request, please go away from here and go to your original place, Ramanaka Island. Because this Ramanaka Island was given to all the Nagas and serpents. This planet was given by Brahmaji. So you please reside there. And he said, what about Garuda? He said, don't worry. Now you have become my devotee and my footprints are always present on your foreheads. Garuda will respect you. Forget about, you know, fighting with you. So, in this way, Krishna and then Kaliya and his wife, they left for Ramanaka Island. Now, one of our acharya writes beautifully, we are also like that Kaliya serpent. But Krishna is non-different than holy name. So when we chant Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, just like Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and all those anarthas, envy and everything was vomiting out because of the footprints and Krishna smashing and thrashing the hoods of Kaliya. So similarly, Krishna, when we chant Krishna's holy name, Krishna is dancing on the tongues. And whatever this anarthas we have, it will also go out or vomited out in due course of time, and will also be loving Krishna one day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.